Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, let's talk to David Cantor, NFL agent. We've spoken to him before. He's on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us here. And I know it's obviously a busy time for folks like you. Can you tell us some of the behind-the-scenes stuff where, you know, I don't want to ask you if agents lie, but what I when we're negotiating contracts and that kind of deal, but what I'm more interested in, you know, do they ever use specific team names? Do they ever give out fake contract terms to try and get the monies up when they're negotiating contracts with their agent for leverage?
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
But they'll name specific teams?
I think that it's important that you're always as honest as possible with teams, but at the end of the day, the goal is to get your clients the most amount of money in the shortest period of time so that they can get even more money going forward. And if anyone says it's not all about the money, that, you know, obviously they must love their job and never want to raise.
Because I guess what I'm trying to say is, yes, I understand agents will say, we have another offer out there. It's bigger than this. Will they actually say, yeah, well, you know, the Dolphins, they're offering us this. Will they get specific like that?
From time to time, yes. I think at one point in time, you have to understand there's multiple tiers of free agency, first of all. So the free agency that you saw yesterday is what we like to call the auction phase. So what you're doing there is basically going back to the combine and sometimes even before, whether it's the East West Shrine Game or the Senior Bowl, you know your player is going to have a significant amount of value and a lot of interest. It could be one team, it could be four teams. You know, in a C.J. Mosley type situation, you're probably looking at 4 to 6 teams that were serious players at, say, $12 or $13 million a year. Then you get to the auction phase, which is the weekend before free agency and the week of free agency, tampering window up until yesterday at 4 o'clock. What's unique about free agency is the big money and the auction phase is now over. But the real part of free agency, the nuanced part of free agency, just begun yesterday at 4 o'clock and will continue on for weeks now. It'll go all the way on up and through and even post-draft. There will almost be a second free agency coming in after the draft where some veteran guys that are out on the street, prices after that will get lowered and teams will be able to grab those guys at value. Partially because of the new CBA, there's a lot less middle-class players. And so it's really the haves and the have-nots. But a C.J. Mosley type guy might have 3, 4, 5 teams, and then you start the auction process.
We're talking to David Cantor here. David, I'm trying to find out on a personal level how much Instagram or social media, for that matter, has changed the game of free agency, especially getting a witness of what AB just ended up doing and manipulating the Pittsburgh Steelers ultimately to make a decision, because owners, teams, franchises, they're kind of afraid of social media and its impact right now.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the old school, the old guard of the NFL. There's certain general managers out there that are afraid of their own shadow, and it's clear on how they're running their football teams, and it's clear when they'll get fired next year or the year after that the teams will breathe a big sigh of relief. It's a young man's game. I had an owner tell me at the combine this year, listen, it's a young man's game, and it means that we might be changing out our coaching staff every 10 years as opposed to in the past, we'd be looking every 20 or 30 years. And if we're not winning, it's a 2 or 3 year proposition business. You saw this year with Steve Wilkes getting fired, with Vance Joseph getting fired, and all the young coaches coming in, Zach Taylor coming in, obviously the Sean McVay effect. And so those coaches and staffs and those organizations that are going younger aren't afraid of social media, right? It's one of those things where they're not worried about what people are saying on the internet or behind closed doors or in public. But it's also a unique component for how free agents started. As soon as Le'Veon Bell tweeted out so many decisions, you know, me and our staff, we immediately knew that he had nothing compared to what he thought he
right,
was.
Right.
It was a bad decision by him from the standpoint to tweet out something so many decisions. But if you have so many decisions, well, then what happens to you is you get C.J. Mosley and you reset the bar for a market $3 million more or $4 million more than anyone even expected was possible at a position. position. Whereas if you look at the big deals this year in free agency, there just aren't a lot of them. One, there wasn't a major quarterback with a major need. You know, $22 million a year for Nick Foles is really in line and kind of below the market for the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, it's not even what Alex Smith got in going to Washington, D.C. on the trade a couple years ago. And if you look at the rest of the marketplace, the corners, there was no big $15-plus million corner. Really, safety was the biggest spend. And almost all those deals, other than maybe Landon Collins, were sort of in line with where the marketplace, you know, $10 to $15 million a year, $10 to $14 million a year. And so there wasn't this gigantic, insane defensive end, partially because the best ones get taken off the market, right? D4 got franchised. Obviously, my client, DeMarcus Lawrence, got a second franchise tag, so clearly he would have been the number one player on the market. And, you know, hopefully he'll still get the biggest deal on the market. It just won't be on the market. It'll be, you know, doing a deal with the Cowboys or via a trade. So there's still so many tiers of free agency. You know, Antonio Brown, yeah, he forced his way out, but you saw him yesterday. All of a sudden, he's super happy in Oakland, right? Money cures a lot of things in the NFL.
So I did take a peek at CJ's contract a couple days ago, and I couldn't get over it. Would you ever imagine a linebacker signing an $85 million deal with 51 guaranteed in such a short time span of how position groups and how they just elevate themselves change throughout your life as an agent?
No, I mean, you know, $17 million a year. I mean, I remember when we did $17 million a year for Olivier Vernon 3 years ago, and every single person in the world was like, that deal's insane. That's crazy. Nobody's worth $17 million a year that doesn't have double-digit sacks. I'm like, well, the value of the player, what they bring to the team, you know, he's unbelievable against the run. He's unbelievable in coverage, and he obviously is a tremendous pass rusher, and he can do unique things. And C.J. Mosley is definitely one of those guys where I was lucky enough to get to know him a little bit, have been to a couple of Pro Bowls with him, know his impact for the Ravens and having represented Eric Weddle. And they both called out the checks and the calls on the defense last year. And he's a transcendental type player. At $17 million a year, he better be, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And with the deal that you ended up doing for Olivier, I just was with Olivier a couple weeks ago. That deal, when that came across the board, was just eye-opening. So congratulations,
and
first of all.
That's the C.J. Mosley deal. That's the C.J. Mosley deal. It's literally almost identical.
Yes.
$17 million a year. I think Olivier was 52 and change guaranteed versus 51. But, you know, and obviously different positions, but you look at C.J. Mosley's deal, there's just not a lot of linebackers that are going to come close to touching that number for a while. And even with Olivier's deal, up until I think this past year, nobody beat it for a 4-3 end guy, and obviously now he's a linebacker end, whatever you want to call it. To me, it's all the same position. If you rush the passer, you're an edge player. And so what you see now is like a Khalil Mack, it took 3 years to get into the 20s for any edge player. And I think right now there's only two. It's Khalil and Donald. So, you know, that'll be the next phase where you'll see edge players that stack the quarterback consistently in the double-digit range are getting $20-plus million a year, which historically have been quarterback money.
So
and now quarterback money is in the 30s.
So with that deal, that eye-opening deal that Olivier signed, because even guys like us that know Olivier were kind of like, oh, my God, that guy just signed a lot of money. So how close were the other teams to coming to that type of an agreement? Like, for instance, the Miami Dolphins. I don't know if you want to let us know at all or if that's just against code, agent code, but like,
no,
how far off were some of these teams from giving Olivier the 17 that he's getting now?
Well, first things first, because obviously a lot of Dolphins fans are listening, that was a different regime than the one this year. So let's clarify that, too. That was a new head coach and a new coaching staff. That was Adam's first year as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and they were never in the dance. They had actually used the transition tag on Olivier. Once we got to the combine, it was clear that the transition tag, even though the Dolphins pretended like they were going to match any offer, were never going to match. And I think their number was probably in the 11 to 12 range, and never really serious. It was never something that our organization considered to be worth his value. It wasn't something Olivier considered, and we really never tried to negotiate off of it because we knew that 14 to 15 was going to basically buy your ticket to the auction. And then once we got to 15, we would see how high we could push it. But to answer your question, at the end, literally right at the end, we started with about 16. Three teams, once the transition tag came off, were at 16. The Jets bowed out very Jaguars and the Giants had nearly identical offers. The Giants, thankfully, for the Giants' sake and for our sake, were willing to do some things that I really wanted. And Brian McIntyre, who runs the company with me, we decided that we really wanted, which was the most cash in the first year, the biggest bonuses, things like that. You know, cool little awards that you can win for a week or two or a year. So the next guy gets more money than you. And everybody should remember that, right? There's always going to be a bigger deal coming. You know, some of these deals will last a week. Some will last a day, some will last a year, some will last a couple of years, like Olivier's did. So you don't always know how long you're going to be so-and-so the record holder, like C.J. Mosley is right now. And then it was the Jaguars and the Giants, and Olivier went in my backyard here in Davie and got on the phone with the coaching staff and walked back in and was like, I'm going to New York. And we were like, okay, awesome, let's go. And, you know, 3 hours later, we had a contract typed up, and he was getting on a plane to fly to New York.
Can you, we got David Cantor here, NFL agent, represents a bunch of guys, among whom, of course, Olivier Vernon, who he's talking about there, who was just traded to the Cleveland Browns, of course. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill is not your client, but can you help us make sense of what is the Dolphins thinking right now with Tannehill? Do you understand what's going on here? Because as of now, he's still on the team.
Well, first of all, you don't just throw away quarterbacks, right? That's the most important position in professional football. Clearly, that touches the ball on every play. And we've all seen the Tom Brady effect for the last 15 years being Dolphins fans and watching him win Super Bowls and beat the Dolphins. Well, I guess it's been almost 20 years. But and so we all know Dan, and we all know Dan Marino. We all wish Dan Marino, you know, the new 2.0 or 3.0 version of him was walking in the building to take over this Dolphins franchise, because clearly – you got to get a horse, and you got to ride that horse, and you hope that horse rides you to a bunch of Super Bowls. So you're not just going to throw Ryan Tannehill on the bed, which for one, because he's still a valuable player. Two, he still has equity in this league. He's not a guy that at the minute he does get released, or the minute a team has a good enough trade, you know, there's people out there that still believe in him and still want him and still like him, and he can win games in this league and has won games in this league. Three, it's a new coaching staff. It's a new regime. So yeah, Chris Greer's here. But obviously, Brian comes here from New England with his own ideas and concepts and thoughts about coaching and about making a player what he wants it to be. And four, you don't have his replacement on your roster yet. So typically, and that may be the number one, is you're not getting rid of Ryan Tannehill until you know you're able to replace him and replace him with someone you feel very comfortable and confident in. And obviously, Teddy Bridgewater was in the building last night. A lot of people locally know Teddy Bridgewater. A lot of people want Teddy Bridgewater. And it sounds to me like there's competition heating up for Teddy Bridgewater's services. It sounds like the Giants are in the mix. Obviously, the Saints just restructured Drew Brees, and they may be coming back to go get him and up their offer. And it's also what the player wants, right? At the end of the day, these are men. Our job as agents are to put the best offer in front of them that they and their family can pray about and think about and make a decision on. And sometimes you do make decisions for other things than money. And those players typically feel better with the fit or better with the culture or better with the ideas or better with the coaching staff.
Good job, David. Thanks a lot for helping us out this morning. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.